overwhelmed with this song. It just, I broke down. I just started crying and I couldn't stop and I still can't stop. It's just beautiful. It's just one of those that just touches your heart in a way that you can't stop it. It just keeps on going. Thank you for that. Thank you for this blessing that you brought on this church this morning. Oh my goodness. I have to breathe. Father, thank you for your amazing word. A word that changes our lives as we walk and we just allow it to just become part of our lives. As we talk in this series about your purpose for our life, or even the plural purposes for our life, help us again this morning to hear and then to act upon your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did, for coming into this world and just changing it forever. We long for the day when we will see you coming and be with you. Thank you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. So we're talking about God's purpose for our life, and we say go live it out in this world. So this morning I'm going to read one verse only, and usually I don't do that. I'll usually read the whole context, but you can go read it at home. You know the story well. This is just after Jesus had healed this man who was blind, and the Pharisees were onto him and onto this poor blind man again. And just taking you back for one second to last week when I reminded you of the Judaizers, as they were called, those who came and said, yes, Jesus plus. And then they had their 623 rules and all the regulations and do this and do that and don't do this. Climb your ladder and see if you can get into heaven. And so we're back with them. They're onto this poor man who has just been healed. And then Jesus talks to them about sheep, and he says, he's the good shepherd, and the sheep know his name, but he also knows them. And then just this one verse for me, we all know John 3:16, but for me, John 10:10 is one of my verses. The thief, says Jesus, comes only to steal and to kill and destroy, and he's talking about not just the Pharisees, but he's talking about Satan. That's what he does. He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I, says Jesus, I come that they may have life. Not just life, but that they may have life and have it abundantly. What a promise. What a promise. Question. When we hear the word abundance or abundantly, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Plenty? More? More than enough? Or maybe if we're a little materialistic, we'll say more clothes, more cars, more houses, more stuff. Because that's the world in which we live, right? That's what media tells us, whether it's the television or social media. That's what it tells us. You have to have more, because you have more, you're okay. And then you sing the song. And that's why it nailed me so much, because it says, if more of you means less of me, we turned it around. It's more of us, right? More of the stuff, more of the junk, and it's supposed to make us happy and feel that we're living. And what does it do? Because I'm running so much for the more and the stuff and the, it overwhelms me. And it's not more of God in me, it's more of me in me, and more of this world in me. And life is not all that fun. Because the more I want, and the more I get, at some stage, the more I have to get rid of it, and then I have to get more of it, and then I have to get rid of it. Is that what Jesus promised? See, when he talks to those Pharisees, they're onto these poor people again about, you have to do this, and you have to do that rule, and you have to. And Jesus is saying, no. I have come to give you life in all of its abundance. What does that mean? Can I take you right back for a second to the book of Genesis, where everything started? So God made this beautiful world. And God says, there you go. I look at you and it's good. Everything he made, every time he said, and it was good. And it was good. And it was good. And then God says, but it's not good enough. I'm going to put some people on there. It says to them, there you go. Puts them in a place called the Garden of Eden. Do you know what the Garden of Eden means in Hebrew? A delicate place of delight and pleasure. Or a place of delicate delight and pleasure, whichever sounds the best to you. But just think of that, this delicate place which is put together with God's hands, but a place of delight and pleasure. And that's what it was. God said to Adam and Eve, there you go. It's all yours. Go and enjoy in all of its abundance. There's nothing that you'll need. There's one tree in the middle. Leave that alone. That's mine. We'll talk about that later. Just leave it be. But it's all yours. And God did more than that. He didn't just give them life in its abundance. God came and walked with them every day. I always say God came at 4 o'clock and he sat down and he had a cup of tea with Adam and Eve. Holy Moses. Life in all of its abundance. That's what he gave. Adam and Eve decided that's not good enough. We need more. More of us. We want it all. We don't just want God. We want to be God. We want to be like God. It's not good enough for us to drink tea with him. No, we want to. And sin came in the world and took away all of the abundance. And all of that delicate delight and pleasure. And broke it down. Jesus says, so I have now come back to change that. I've come to give you life in all of its abundance. More of God. More of God's presence. More of God's fullness. More of God's power. More of God's indwelling. More of God's holiness. Give you life in all of its abundance. You know me, I'm not a negative guy. I never preach negative because it doesn't work. We don't work that way. But a question. Is there something in your home, in your life, in your work, in how you live, that is stealing that delicate place of pleasure and abundance that God gives? Takes away that life in its fullness that God wants to give. Is there something? Can I help you with that a little bit this morning? Let's give it up. Let's give it up to God. I'm going to show you a little bit later how we do that. Because I think the biggest problem that causes this loss of this delicate delight and pleasure in our lives is maybe the pace of life that we live. A man called Kosuke Koyama, a Japanese gentleman, he wrote this book. It's called The 3 Mile an Hour God. It says this, just going to read you about 100 pages. No, it's just this, and this is 22 points, so it's not that much. People no longer see one another with faces, but as numbers and replaceable units in productive processes and systems. However, our God is a 3 mile an hour God. That's the speed at which humans walk. That's the speed at which Jesus winded his way through Galilee, touching the ill, chatting with widows, pausing in marketplaces to observe children at play, and plucking grain in the fields on a Sabbath day. We were created in the image of a 3 mile an hour God, and we've been called to be partners in ministry with the 3 mile an hour God. The world on the run needs more people who are moving slowly enough to weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. People who are moving slowly enough to notice smiles of joy and tears of sorrow. people who are moving slowly enough to reach out to those in pain, to comfort those in suffering, and to offer hope to those in despair. We were created by a 3-mile-an-hour God. In our quest for more, we run at 100 miles an hour. Here's my thing. I think if God wanted us to run 100 miles an hour, would have given us wheels and an engine. And we would have run the wheels off that in any case, because we do. Because we just run, 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 and it just gets so much and so overwhelming, because that's not life in all of its abundance, because it has consequences. Let me tell you the consequences. When we run at 100 miles an hour, life becomes superficial. Why do I say that? Just think of life a little bit. How many of us are on social media? And then you can ask us, how many friends do you have on Facebook? Oh, I have 250. Really? So how many of those have you had a time of fellowship with? How many of those have you made time to have a cup of tea with? How many of those do you really talk to on a weekly basis of your 250? Because we're running 100 miles an hour, so now we live off little hearts and little likes. And what I can put on there, and people say, oh, at least they're alive and living. Is that life in abundance? Is that running 3 miles an hour? No, it's not. Marriages are falling apart. Why? Because we run so much that we don't have time to sit down with that person that God has blessed me with to just share our lives. And we lose it. Can you remember an old song? Can we sing it? Come play, Esther. No, I'm joking. Can you remember a song called The Cat's in the Cradle? Oh, wow. It's old, but it's as new as today. Just listen to one or two of those verses. My child arrived just the other day, came into the world the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And he's talking before I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm going to be like you, Dad. I'm going to be just like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? And I said, not today. I have a lot to do. And he said, that's okay. And he walked away, but the smile never dimmed. It says, I'm going to be just like you. Cat's in the cradle, you know. Let me leave one verse out and go to the last one. I've long since retired and my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day and I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. And he said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time to see. Because you see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And I hung up the phone and it occurred to me that he'd grown up to be just with a cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. When are you coming home, Dad? I don't know when. That's what happens when you run. Boy, this guy wrote the gospel in a song in the 50s, I think. In a song, whenever it was, Peter, you'll know better than I would. But I know the song, and it's always touched my heart because I've always asked myself, is that what my kids are going to say about me? Because I'm a pastor. Especially in the old days, you were working 24/7 because that was the expectation. Is that what God expects of me? No. No. Because then life just becomes so superficial. I'm working to keep food on the table. I'm working to get clothes on your back. I need you, Dad. I need you, Elsie. I need you, Aubrey. I need you to be there for me. Otherwise, where is that place of delicate delight and pleasure that God says, I'll give you life in all of its abundance? Second consequence that happens when we run 100 miles an hour is that the burdens become so heavy that we cannot bear them, and you know that. When this world puts all of that stuff on me because I have to do it, because I have to have it, because it has to be there, and the boss says this, and the work says this, we have an epidemic of people struggling with mental illness, depression, struggling with self-worth, anxiety, all of these things. And I'm not saying that in the negative. I'm saying those are the consequences that are hurting us. And for me, the worst part of that is we put that on those little frames too. We add burdens to those little shoulders that they cannot carry. We put expectations on those little shoulders that they don't know how to do. And they break down. You ask Fran, because she was a teacher for a gazillion years. Forever. And I mean that in a good way. Ask my blondie, who works there every week with these little frames. They should not be in grade 2 and struggle with mental health because of us having them run at 100 miles an hour because of all the things that we put on those little lives. Another consequence, we miss the beauty and the privileges of this life of abundance that God gives when we run so fast. I can't remember what the poem's name is. I learned this thing in grade 3 or grade 4. I only remember this one little part of this. It said, what is this life? If full of care, we have no time to stand and stare. No time to watch when woods we pass, where squirrels hide their nuts in grass. When you run 100 miles an hour, you miss the beauty and the pleasure of these amazing things that God has given you. You miss the wonder of your partner and the joy that they bring in your life. You miss the wonder of the kids. You miss the wonder of just sitting. Like my brother-in-law sends me a picture of the lake every day. And he says, this is where I sit and I talk to God. Because he's been diagnosed with cancer. And it's not good. But that's his joy. He's running at 3 miles an hour, and he sits on that deck, and he talks to God, and he spends time with his wife, and he sees God's creation, and he says, boy, is that amazing, despite what's going on with him. But then we find life in its abundance, even in our brokenness and in our struggles, because we slow down to see. So how do we change this around? Because here's the thing. What happens, it doesn't come overnight. This running at 100 miles an hour. Slowly, slowly. It's like a salami that you have in your freezer or in your fridge. If you cut 2 slices off once a week, you don't see it becoming smaller. But by a month or month and a half, then you realize, oh my goodness, it shrunk. 100 miles an hour gets you like that. You don't see it initially. Boy, when you look at it, all of a sudden, it's just, how do we change that? The only one that can change this is me, you, us, ourselves. Stop and take control of your life again. It's not your work that's in control. It's not the world that's in control. It's not your boss that's in control. It's you. It's you who make those decisions. You take that back. And when you take that back, you give it back to God. And you say, now God, you teach me. You slow me down. You put me back to 3 miles an hour so I can stand before you. And Lord, when I give you back all of the control, will you please, John 15, will you please prune me, Remember what Jesus says? I'm the vine, you the branches. And my Father prunes, because as he prunes, what happens? Those branches who bear fruit when they are pruned will bear more fruit. Abundance happens when I slow down, give it to God, allow God to prune all the stuff away, and bear the fruit, and find my place of delicate delight and pleasure. You know me, I'm a practical guy. So here's the thing. Maybe it's time to go look at your calendar or your phone, wherever you put the stuff, and then you say, where's my time that I spend with God? And then you make that in your calendar and you book it for every day. That time where you slow down and you be with your Lord and you ask him to take control and to prune away the stuff. Go make time for that loved one that God has given in your life. Write that in your calendar. And keep that date every day. Don't run. Texting is not good enough. Email is not good enough. I love the days when we had telephones who had tails on them. Because you could pick it up. And when you call, you can hear the voice. You can hear the emotion. You can hear the feeling. I love the days when we would still meet and look each other in the eye. When Fran and I were talking about this stuff, we were actually talking on the phone. We were not just texting. The only time we sent an email was to say, this is how it looks like. But we spoke. And look what God did this morning. Stop. The only one who can stop you is you. Make time for God. And give it to him. Take time for yourself. I'm the best example of not doing that. It took me 20 years in this church to take my first sabbatical in 41 years of ministry. What do you call that? Stupid. Remember, I never took holidays. In the summer, I would take a week. What do you call that? I won't use the word again. It's not living in that place of delicate delight and pleasure because I wasn't doing you a favor or myself or my family a favor. Or God. Because you don't charge those batteries, you can't walk 3 miles an hour. Make time for yourself. It's important. And then go walk with Jesus. And this is in our next series that's coming. We're going to talk about when Jesus invites us and he says, come walk with me, and I will teach you the unforced rhythms of grace. We'll talk about that in the next series, Unburdening Your Life, that's coming up. But here's that same invitation. I've come, said Jesus, to give you life. But not just life, abundantly. Slow down. You move too fast. Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer. Oh Lord, thank you. Think of that song. Oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all of this earth. And how majestic are you, Lord. And in your fullness and in your greatness, you come back into a world that lost its place of delicate delight and pleasure. And you make the promise. Come walk with me. And I will give you life in its abundance. Help us, Lord, not to squander that. Not to run so fast that we can't stop. And walk with you. Thank you for reminding us of that. And Lord Jesus, thank you that when you walked, as Kosuke Koyama wrote it so beautifully, you walked so slow that you could see the beauty of little kids playing. You could see the need of those who were struggling. You could share the joy of those who were happy. So help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray.